as children, we're growing up absorbing our family's relationship with money. So when we go out into our 20s, we are kind of projecting what we've seen at home.
Ever felt like you're just winging your way through life, hoping you'll find the answers to life's important issues along the way? Hey, I'm Gabby Mendez, and this is my podcast, Talk 20s. On this podcast, I'll be chatting to my friends and fellow 20-somethings on different topics that matter to you in your 20s. So if you're ready, let's go. Hello and welcome to the Talk 20s podcast. This week we have a very special guest. She's an award-winning life coach and mentor, law attraction YouTuber, speaker, podcast host, and now best-selling author. She's here to tell us a little bit more about her brand new book that is out on Tuesday. I'm really excited to welcome to the podcast Emma Mumford. Welcome, Emma.
Thank you so much for having me, Gabby. I'm really excited to be here.
It's a delight to have you on the podcast. Please, please, please tell us a little bit more about yourself and your new book, Positively Wealthy.
Oh, thank you. So if anybody isn't familiar with my work, as Gabby said in my intro, I'm a law of attraction YouTuber. So my work specializes in helping women turn their dream lives into an abundant reality. So that's using the law of attraction and spiritual methods as well. So most of my work is focused on law of attraction. And I have a podcast, I have a YouTube channel, I post inspiration on my social media. So there's lots of places you can find all the kind of law of attraction, spiritual advice and tips that I give. I also do coaching and mentoring, I write books, so yeah, I do lots of different things. So Positively Wealthy is my new book that's coming out this week, which is really exciting, and it's a 33-day guide to manifesting sustainable wealth and abundance in all areas of your life, so all things law of attraction.
It's so exciting, and I think what's really interesting about this book is you mention in the book actually that there isn't very much on law of attraction that is based around money and finance and bringing in wealth. But you also discuss how wealth doesn't just mean money. So tell us a little bit more about that and what you mean by that.
Of course. So, you know, when you come across the law of attraction, you know, it's very easy to get into that kind of materialistic kind of space where you're wanting to manifest money, abundance, houses, and like all of those things are absolutely great. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with wanting to manifest those things. But I fell into this trap very early on, and I've been along my kind of spiritual journey for four and a half years now. And what I found is that especially once I'd kind of manifested everything off my vision board, which was incredible, and I was so happy and like so grateful for everything, that I realized that nothing was truly fulfilling me. There was like a gap in me, a kind of void as such, where I'd hit this kind of last and final manifestation, which was to sell my previous business. And, you know, I had life-changing money and it was like the best thing ever. Yet I thought, okay, when that money hits your bank account, like you're going to feel different, Emma. You've made it. Like you can sit back, relax, you've made it. And when that money hit my bank account, I felt no different. I felt grateful, of course, but within 10 minutes, you know, I'd sent it to, you know, different investments, you know, my savings account and things. So within 10 minutes, my bank balance was the same as it was before. And I sat with that and I thought, you don't feel as fulfilled as you thought you would. You don't feel as great as you thought you would. And this was a real big wake-up call, an epiphany moment for me, where I realized that I'd been chasing the wrong version of wealth and what wealth really meant to me. So wealth will mean different things to different people. Like, Gabby, your definition will be different. Mine will. Everybody's will be. So it's really about getting true to that. And I think, you know, in the society we live in, you know, to aspire to money, to aspire to success, validation, all these things, there's nothing wrong with that, but it has to be your true version of wealth. So I thought my version of wealth was to, you know, write books, get the book deals, you know, have success, have a successful six-figure business, all of these things. And those things do light me up. I love my business more than anything. I love helping people, of course. But really, I was chasing the work side of things and the success and the money and the materialistic side of things when I realized that wasn't my true version of wealth, and that I wasn't also focusing my energy on my personal life. And, you know, my work and my success looked fantastic. You know, it was great. My work was thriving. So I obviously put more and more energy towards it because it made me happy and it was working and it was abundant and it was flowing. Whereas that energy really needed to be put where my version of wealth was, to, which is my personal life and my downtime, to make that flourish and grow too. So yeah, the book is on obviously having a grounded spiritual and practical relationship with money. And I feel like there is a lot of talk out there about law of attraction. attraction and money, absolutely, but never money and wealth as, you know, in the same topic. Redefine your version of wealth. Make sure your goals are your goals and not somebody else's, because you feel that, oh, because Emma or Gabby's doing it, that's what I must do too. You know, it has to be true to you. And this is where a lot of people kind of fall down with the law of attraction, because they get drawn into this, you know, into this cycle of, well, everybody else is doing this, so I need to do this. And even the same with money, people feel that money manifestations, they must manifest millions, they must manifest big six, seven figure, eight businesses. It's like, you don't have to do that. If you don't want to run a business, that's absolutely okay. If you don't want to manifest £1 million, that's okay too. It's about being authentic to yourself and honest with where you're at, and also having a grounded relationship with money, because there's a lot of scaremongering with money manifesting and all these, you know, very spiritual practices, which do work and they're great. But also it's about integrating that with our humanness, because we are souls having a human experience, and making it really practical as well for our kind of monkey mind, our kind of ego. Where, because money is a big thing, you know, money makes the world go round as such. So really, you know, we have to incorporate a spiritual and grounded relationship with money, not just the spiritual side, because this is where people's blocks come up, because they can't integrate it into the practicality of money.
Absolutely. And the book literally covers every single step of that. And I think what's great about what you do is you break it down into 33 chunks, 33 parts to read each day, to work on a little bit of that kind of practice. And you really kind of make it very, very easy to read for someone who's not really read too much about the law of attraction or knows a lot about it. And you break it down. So there's a day on gratitude, there's a day on affirmations, there's a day on writing your dream lists, which was something that I hadn't even thought of and thought that was brilliant. So I think what's really great about the book is that you make it really accessible to people who are just stepping into this at the moment, and especially for 20-somethings. Would you agree this is the time to kind of hone this and really start off successfully with your spiritual journey?
Definitely, you know, and really that book is everything I did wrong and giving you everything that went right for me. Mm-hmm. So it's like tried and tested, if anything, because, you know, I've gone along that journey, and so many of us have gone along that journey as well, where we chase that wrong version of wealth, where we're trying to, you know, manifest out of fear, out of lack sometimes as well. So a lot of the time of law of attraction, it's very much, you know, kind of marketed, shall we say, kind of shown in a way which is like, you can have all these amazing things, but actually, you know, like even in my first book, Spiritual Queen, I break the law of attraction down into 5 steps, because I do really believe there is 5 steps, because 3 steps just didn't cut it for me. So it's about understanding those 5 steps, understanding the real meaning behind the law of attraction, and then doing that inner work as well. And that's what the book takes you through in those 33 practices, you know, one each day, because it's saying, yes, set the intentions, yes, get clear, and here's all the amazing tips to do that. But also you have to do that inner work to remove those blocks, remove those limiting beliefs or anything else that is there. Because, you know, one of the key steps in law of attraction is witnessing what stands in between you and your manifestation. So for me, that's what blocks me a lot. And, you know, through that, you know, 4.5 year period since I've been doing this, I've kind of been taking note and saying, right, what's worked really well for me? What did I do in this situation? So there's obviously, you know, examples in there from my life as well. And I think that's what makes it relatable, is saying, you know, this is what I did, and this is what helps, you know, my followers, my clients, and this is how you can do it too.
And it's amazing. It's a brilliant read. I'd advise anyone who is kind of thinking about stepping into the world of spirituality and bringing wealth into their life to really take a look at Emma's book. It's available on audio as well as in ebook, and also a physical copy as well. Now, Emma, I wanted to really ask you about how you started out your 20s and how you kind of came about to write this book, because you've had a really, really interesting journey and background. So tell us a little bit more how you started your 20s and how you came to this.
Yes, so I'm 26 now, heading to 27 in August, and my journey did actually start when I was 20 years old, ironically. So as soon as I hit that 20, boom, this is when the lessons came in. So for me, I started off my 20s in a very different space. I had depression, I was in a very low space, I was in 2 really bad relationships, one after the other, and for me, they transformed my life. So when I was kind of 19 going on 20, I got myself into £7,000 worth of debt. So I was a banker at the time. I worked in a UK's well-known bank, and I just kind of fell into banking. It was never something I wanted to do as such, but money has kind of always followed me, as you'll see. So I didn't love that job because I loved the interaction. I loved talking to people, but I didn't like having goals and targets to put people in debt. It didn't feel good to me and it didn't feel authentic to me. And I really struggled because I was good at sales. I'd had quite a few sales jobs before, but something morally didn't feel right to me about putting people in debt and like forcing loans, mortgages, everything on people. Like, it just didn't feel right. So this is where I think the depression stemmed from. And then also because my not so lovely ex-boyfriend left me in £7,000 worth of debt, I was then that person in debt as well. So I had to leave the bank. It just wasn't for me anymore. And I got a part-time retail job, which just really suited me a lot more and kind of interacting with people and helping people. So I had £7,000 worth of debt, and it was a lot. It was a lot for a 20-year-old who was then working part-time, who also had depression, who struggled to go to work to deal with. You know, luckily I was able to live with my parents at that time, but you know, I still had responsibilities. I had to pay rent. I had to pay my way in the world. You know, it wasn't just given to me as such. So I had debt collectors on my back as well for this money. So it was quite a scary time of my life to kind of enter my 20s in, because I'd never expected that to happen. And it wasn't my fault. Yes, it was my responsibility because I took it on for him, but it wasn't like I'd gone and accumulated that debt myself. So it was a weird kind of mindset to get around, really. But I knew, and he didn't pay a penny back, so I had to clear it myself. So, you know, the responsibility was on me. I had to kind of, you know, say, right, this is the situation I've got into. How can I get myself out of this? So I was watching TLC one day and saw Extreme Couponing, which I know probably everyone's seen and loved over in America. It's a big TV show about extreme couponing. So I thought, wow, this is incredible. Like, all these people are saving so much money, saving money, getting out of debt, you know, and really helping themselves. And I thought, there must be someone in the UK who does this, who I can follow, who I can kind of get some advice of and do this here in the UK. And at the time, there was maybe one or two people, but there literally was no talk of couponing here in the UK. It was very sort of like a hush-hush topic as such. So I kind of really challenged myself to go and find these coupons, find ways to save money, discounts, etc., just on the everyday things which I needed and would save me money to clear that debt. And after a couple of months, I had like a whole spare room, which was a stockpile. My friends were like, Emma, you really need to like share this with people. You know, people would love to do this. And I thought, well, who am I to do that? You know, I'm just 20-year-old Emma. We have Martin Lewis. We have like all these great money experts out there. Why me? But after much bullying, I started up the Facebook page, and within 6 months, it just kind of really blew up from there. So the press got involved. I was nicknamed the Coupon Queen, which is where Spiritual Queen comes from. I was presenting on ITV's This Morning with Philip and Holly, doing like couponing and money saving slots. So it really was like a whirlwind and just a shock that my journey there has, you know, helped so many people and was helping people. So I turned that into a business. I didn't even know it could be a business at the time. And it was really, really amazing to run that business for 5 years. I had over 500,000 followers. It was just so amazing to have a community of people who all wanted to get out of debt. And it was rewarding for me because I was putting people in debt before and now helping them to get out of debt. So that's kind of my money roots as such. And that's why I say money's always kind of followed me, like really unintentionally. It's always been there in the background. So 2016, I had my spiritual awakening. And this was when I was in the second bad relationship that I got out of. And this was where I really hit my kind of point of I just couldn't cope anymore. My mental health was so bad. My depression had come back worse. I had this amazing business that I loved so much and so much abundance, but I was just so miserable inside. I didn't love myself. I didn't know who I was. And I was 22, 23 at the time. No, 21, 22, sorry. And it was just really hard to be in that space. So once that relationship broke down, even more debt again had accumulated from the flat we were in. He just upped and left. So I had to financially take that on. And I just thought, how am I here again? Like, you know, how am I here? So when I kind of was at that moment of, I'm either going to have to end my life or I'm going to have to like change my life around here, I just asked for help. And I just remember sitting, like looking outside my window at 2 a.m. or something random like that and just saying, God, help me. And I'm not someone who was Christian. You know, I would say I was atheist for many years before that because I'd been through so much and, you know, through emotional abuse as well in those relationships. I thought, why would a God let this happen to me? I've been, you know, in these terrible situations twice now. I don't know who I am. I don't want to be here. What's the point? So it was a big thing for me to say those words. And within 5 days, the help did arrive. And I found the word law of attraction. And I just loved it from that point. And it just really resonated with me. For the first time, it made sense in my life. And I was like, this resonates with me. This is like I'm remembering something, not learning something. So I went and, you know, read all I could on the law of attraction. And within 3 weeks, I was a total different person. My mindset had changed. I got myself out of depression. And, you know, I'd done CBT, I'd done medication and things. And for some people, that is so absolutely needed. For me, I feel that it was circumstantial depression. And I feel that almost like a spiritual depression as well, where I just wasn't honoring myself and I was really ignoring those calls from the universe as such. So, you know, for some people, it will absolutely be that you do need that help. And I was in that lucky position where the law of attraction really helped me to change that mindset and change my life around. So from that point, I became obsessed with it. And it was really a point of then integrating it into my work as such. So I kind of had two separate brands. I had my Extreme Couponing brand and my Coupon Queen brand, which was more the Emma side of things, like YouTube and a blog. So I thought, hey, what's the worst thing that can happen? I'm just going to chuck this law of attraction stuff in and hopefully people don't think I'm crazy. And to my surprise, you know, everybody absolutely loved it. So I just started to integrate it more and more, and then realized after about a year that I really wanted to do this full time, and that helping people spiritually as well as with money, but all areas of their life, really, really fulfilled me. And that's what I really felt called to do. So I sold my business, and I gave that example earlier with the pinnacle moment for me. And in 2017, I fully stepped into the Spiritual Queen brand and rebranded. And I've been doing this for 3 years now. And it is one of the best journeys ever. And, you know, I'm super grateful for all of that journey, because, you know, kind of that, you know, growth over those 6 years, I'm a completely different person now, completely different. And even from 2016, when I had that first spiritual awakening, I'm again another completely different version of myself. So my 20s have literally shaped me, but in the best way possible. And like I said, with how I kind of introed the book earlier, of it was that pinnacle moment of after I kind of written Spiritual Queen and introduced the law of attraction, introduced my story and how I got here, Positively Wealthy was really the book which was like, right, let's nail everything which I was never taught in law of attraction, which I know works and really, really helps people. And at first it was a book which was primarily going to be focused on knowing your worth and kind of the wealth side of things. But the psychic at my Spiritual Queen book launch, we just hired her for a bit of fun. And she said, oh, Emma, your next book's going to be on money. And I was like, no, it's not. Don't be stupid. I'm Spiritual Queen now. The Coupon Queen crown's hung up. That's not going to happen. And here we are, it's a money book. So the universe has its great ways where, you know, it was for the highest good. And to be honest, it does merge together so well. And I think so many people want to have a positive, spiritual, and grounded relationship with money that this book was really needed.
I think it's so interesting that you've had such a transformation in your 20s as well, because I've had a similar journey. I've gone from very lost in my early 20s, but trying my best to kind of get through, taking different paths and kind of having negative experiences with my mental health. Sometimes there's just a switch that flips at some stage. And you're like, this is my calling. This is what I need to do. And the more you invest your time into that and go after that wholeheartedly, that is the way to find who it is and you need to be and your happiness, I feel. And I think it's fair to say that you can start your 20s as one person and end as an entirely different person. And I think that's really interesting. And you are a prime example of how to really make the best of your 20s by leaning into the spiritual side and listening to what the universe is telling you you should follow. Because if you'd have told your 20-something self that you'd have created a business in couponing, in money, nothing to do with spirituality, and you would probably end your 20s as a life coach, a law of attraction YouTuber. Like, you're like, but that's two crazy different things. Mm-hmm. But you've beautifully merged it all together to really tell your journey. And I think that's so, so interesting. I really want to kind of dive into relationship with money in your 20s and how challenging that can be. Quite often in your early 20s, like you say, we step into jobs that, you know, are just for the money, or we work part time whilst we educate ourselves and go to university. How important do you think it is to start to gain a positive relationship with money in your early 20s?
Yeah, definitely. It's super important, because like you say, you know, some people like myself, I didn't go to university, so I went straight into working, and then, you know, had to kind of learn that relationship with money of paying rent and bills and having a property by myself and having those responsibilities. And even if you go to university, obviously you've then got the kind of debt aspect of the debt you're taking on, responsibility for your finances, making sure that you can obviously, you know, afford to live. And, you know, either way, we're kind of thrown into it really in our kind of early 20s. And, you know, I think it's important because as children, we're growing up absorbing like sponges our parents' relationship with money, our family's relationship with money. So really, when we go out into our 20s, we are kind of projecting what we've seen at home because we don't know any different. We haven't really had that experience yet. So really, if you were kind of saying, well, I actually probably haven't had the greatest of starts with money, then it's really looking, you know, more at home and saying, okay, what stories or beliefs have I told myself or witnessed, you know, in my family home growing up? And how can I now, you know, work through that to change it positively? So the fact that you're listening to this, watching this, you know, in your early 20s is such a powerful place to be, because if I'd had this information when I was 20, could have saved a lot of heartbreak, could have saved a lot of, you know, clearing debt as well. But, you know, I believe everything happens for a reason, absolutely. And I feel like sometimes we have to make those mistakes to actually learn the polarity and learn actually, okay, that wasn't the greatest thing to do. So what am I going to do next time? So I think it's important to have experience and to, you know, to not butter it up as such and actually go into the real world and have these experiences, because that is the best way you learn. But equally as well, you know, from the manifesting side of things, there are so many great things you can do, like, you know, working on your positive money language, so how you speak about money, you know, instead of saying things like your skin, you know, say things like, you know, I'm sorry, I just can't afford that this week, or I'm sorry, I'm choosing to save my money this week, let's do something next week. So it's really just reframing the language that you use around money, definitely. And also things, you know, like this is where my kind of coupon queen days comes into it really well, is like budgeting and being really practical with money, because that is super important. And that's not negative, that's not, you know, bad law of attraction, as people would say. It pays to have that practical side and that spiritual side merged together, because then our kind of ego, our inner critic as such, can feel at peace and believe it more as such. So really doing this work in your early 20s is so important, because then you really set those solid foundations and you'll find that you are able to meet those solid foundations a lot quicker, whether that's saving up for a property, if that's saving up for a car, whatever it may be. If you can really nail this now, like, you know, you're only benefiting your future self.
Absolutely. I think that's so true. And I really liked what you mentioned there about blending the practical side of things with the spiritual side of things, and why that is so important to make your understanding so much greater with budgeting and with finance. Because there's definitely, you know, pragmatic things you can do, like spreadsheets and this and that, but also having belief, manifesting, visualizing what you want also is so much more important. And there's kind of two sides to it that needs to be merged together, which is exactly what your book is about, which makes it even more easy to put it into practice, because it's not just, oh, dream about £1 million and £1 million is going to suddenly appear. It's all about putting the practical elements into that as well. So it's just super, super interesting. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is something that comes up a lot in your 20s, and that is dealing with comparison. We talk about it a lot on the podcast, and how when you're this age, you tend to look at what other people are doing so much more than you ever have before and think, how do they manage to do that with their life? And why doesn't my life look like that? And why have I experienced this? And why can't I get that job? And what's your experience of comparison, and how have you dealt with that throughout your 20s?
Definitely. And, you know, how I describe comparison, even in the book, is we're signing up to a marathon, a race that we didn't even want to sign up to. You know, we're kind of forced into that marathon where we're all watching each other like, oh my God, they're running faster, they're doing this. And it's like, well, actually, no, stay in your own lane. And this was a massive, massive lesson for me of, you know, especially when I was in my blogger days, that's where I really felt the comparison hit more, was when I was like an influencer, a search and a blogger. You're always looking at, oh, well, so-and-so is working with this brand, this is happening, why isn't that brand? And this was before I was spiritual. And, you know, I would look at people like Zoella and really look up to her and be like, well, why aren't I like that? Why can't I have that? And it really took that kind of spiritual awakening to realize there already is a Zoella and she's fantastic. But I'm Emma, you're Gabby, and we have our own unique superpowers. We have our own uniqueness. We have our own unique destiny as well, our own life path. And what may be meant for someone may not be meant for you, but you could actually be meant for greater. So sometimes we can almost like limit ourselves by falling into that comparison trap And it's really about remembering to stay in your own lane. And when you focus on your own crops, when you focus on your own garden, your own flowers, and nurture them, water them, fertilize them, your crops are going to grow. If you're focusing on someone else's garden, your garden's not getting that attention. So it's really important to put your energy into what you are doing and making sure it's authentic and making sure that your uniqueness and realizing your beautiful uniqueness is so important and so needed in this world. So whatever it is you want to do, like follow your passions, follow your desires, that's already leading you to your purpose and what your purpose here is in this world. Like, you look at my journey, I've gone through corporate jobs, I've gone through sales, I've gone through money saving to be here now where I want to be. And all of those experiences have given me so much knowledge to benefit me in this business now where I am here, and, you know, have strengthened that business with that social media experience, that marketing experience. All of those experiences were leading me to where I am now. So everything you are doing is important. You are learning, you are growing, and that's so, so important. So I think my best tips would be to focus on your own garden and nurture that, you know. And like what I said with Positively Wealthy, it's identifying whether your goals are your goals, whether you're too busy looking outside of yourself and saying, well, this is what wealth should be, this is what my version of wealth is. It's actually about saying, well, is this my real version of wealth? How do these goals feel to me? Am I trying to do it to please someone, achieve something, or is this my real version of wealth?
Absolutely. I think that's so, so interesting. And I think looking at yourself and only staying in your own lane is the only way that you can actually grow. Because like you say, if you're just comparing yourself to other people, you are never going to actually do the work that you need to do to excel to your potential. Completely agree.
Definitely.
So I wanted to just dive in deep with a couple of bits from your book that you use to your 33-day steps. So one of the things that you mention in your book is gratitude. And I'm sure people have heard about being grateful before, but it's not just about writing, I'm happy because the sun is shining today. There's much more to it. And why is it so important to practice gratitude in order to start your journey on being positively wealthy?
Absolutely. Well, gratitude is the heart of everything. So how the law of attraction works is if you can't be grateful for what you have, the universe isn't going to bring you anything more. So getting grateful for everything you have right here, right now is so, so important. You know, even before we're setting those intentions, you know, you can, but it's really important to be focusing on where you're at now, what you have, and the blessings that are in your life. So like you said, you know, it's great to say I'm so grateful for my house, my dog, my partner, whatever. But it's really taking that further. So what I always say is, like, do gratitude each day because it will literally change your life. And it doesn't have to be a big drawn out process. It can literally be 3 to 5 points. That's it. And just write it down in a little notebook. You can say it out loud if you want to, but I feel there's good energy behind actually writing things out and taking that time and nurturing that practice as such. So what you would write down is, I'm so grateful for, and then you put your house, whatever, and say because. And the reason why you write your why afterwards is because it's so easy for us to, on that, you know, kind of surface level, look at what we're grateful for. But when you really ask yourself, why am I grateful for this? It takes that gratitude practice to a whole new level where it really strengthens it, gives you those good vibrations, those good vibes. And that is the whole point of you know, doing a gratitude practice. It's not how many points you can write. It's not, you know, getting that A star as such. It's about that feeling behind that practice. So really enhancing it by writing your why will change your gratitude practice and, you know, just really support you throughout the day, even with consistency of how you're feeling in a positive mood, even if it's just for that. Maybe it's not even for manifesting, but doing gratitude each day can help your mindset, can help your focus, can help you manifest. There's just so many benefits, so many.
Absolutely. And I think another key point that I got from your book, which I hadn't actually heard before from reading a little bit more about manifestation, was you're kind of like a baby step into manifestation, I think I would call it, which is, wouldn't it be nice if? What does that passage mean to you, and why do you use it to kind of kickstart how you feel about manifestation in the beginning?
Definitely. So this is a practice by Esther and Jerry Hicks, or Abraham Hicks's work, should I say. And it was something I came across kind of a couple of years ago when I kind of went through my second spiritual awakening. And I had all, you know, the traditional manifesting steps and all of what had worked for me really well. And there was a period where I just didn't manifest anything. It was that inner work. I had to do all of that good inner work. So I just wasn't manifesting. And I really broke it down and was like, okay, on the emotional scale, I'm like at the bottom here. Like I'm at the bottom, you know, I'm like witnessing where I'm at. How can I get out of this bottom place? And it was really about then saying, okay, wouldn't it be nice? So instead, when you set your intention of, you know, say, it would be great if today I manifested £100, for example, you and yourself, if you're not mentally in that space where it feels good to say that and you're feeling fearful, anxious, maybe just not having a good day, everything behind the law of attraction comes down to energy. So you have to look at your energy and the energy you're putting towards your manifestation and also your consistent vibration. So the wouldn't it be nice method really works for people who are just struggling, who are like, maybe I don't believe in the law of attraction, or maybe I am just having a really bad time right now and believing in this is just hard. So instead of saying, you know, I'd like to manifest £100 today, or universe, I call it in £100 today, whatever your intention would be, it's saying, wouldn't it be nice if today I manifested £100, or wouldn't it be nice if today I got a nice text from my friend, whatever it is. Because when you say wouldn't it be nice, it's just such a more relaxed approach to manifesting, where it just takes that invisible pressure off, I think, where we kind of feel like, right, where is it, we're actually saying, do you know what, it would just be really nice if that happened. So I really encourage anybody to do that if you are a bit of a skeptic, or you're just having a bad day, but you really want to manifest even feeling better. Like, wouldn't it be nice if today I could feel happy and supported? You can manifest emotional things as well. So it's just a really good like tool to have in your toolkit as such, to use when things feel heavier, or when you think, actually, my belief is just, it's just not there at the moment.
Now, I don't want to give too much away, because otherwise people aren't going to be able to read your book. So I just want to know, give me three reasons why you think people should buy your book, and remind us of when it's out and where we can purchase it from.
Okay, three. Now you put me on the spot. So I would say my first reason is because the law of attraction changed my life in the most amazing way possible, in a way where I'm truly happy, truly fulfilled, and have co-created the life of my dreams. So if you are in a space where you want to, you know, you have that will to change and you have that will to manifest things, and you're like, actually, I resonate with this and I really want to, you know, work to have that life of my dreams, that's why, you know, this book really helps. Because it's not just a book that says, hey, here's my story, right, now go into the world. It's a practical book. It gives you practices every single day to, you know, actually follow. So it's a hands-on guide as well. It's not just a book where you're given the information and you're kind of let loose as such. You have my support over that 33 days, talking you through each practice, explaining each practice, and guiding you along my proven way to manifesting abundance of all kinds in your life. It doesn't have to just be money and wealth. It can be love, it could be friendship, it could be a house, it could be absolutely anything. But you know, money and wealth is one of the main themes, but wealth is obviously what you make it, remember. The second reason would because it would be because everybody loves a practice book. I find them really fun. I think they're really cool to do. So again, it's that practical side of things where you can just have fun with it, set your intentions, and just see what happens over the 33 days. And obviously the chapters are really manageable as well. So it's not like you have to read tons each day. So it's just, you know, a nice digestible book. And then the third reason would be, why not? Why not read it if you love the law of attraction, if you love money, if you, you know, these topics really interest you and you want to have a positive relationship with money, then why not give it a go and see what happens? So yeah, the book's available worldwide from anywhere that sells books. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, any of those places, and you can get it in whichever format you prefer, written, obviously like a paperback, ebook, or audiobook.
Amazing. And I can't wait to hear what other people think. I'm sure they will tell me what they think of your book as soon as they pre-order as well. So I just have two questions left, and they are some of my most favorite questions, and I love hearing people's answers to them. The first, I would love to know, who or what inspires you the most? Because you are such an inspirational person yourself, but you must be getting this inspiration from somewhere in order to bring it into your own life. So who or what inspires you the most?
Okay, well, I actually thought about this question a lot when you sent it over, because I thought, you know what? I ask this question a lot on my podcast. So I have two answers. So my first one of who really inspired me along my journey is Gabby Bernstein. I absolutely love her work. She's so inspirational to me, and she embodies that, you know, spiritual entrepreneur and just everything that I really look up to. So Gabby's work has definitely inspired me. Her books have been, you know, pivotal in my spiritual journey. So absolutely her. But another kind of controversial answer to this, which I thought a lot about, and a lot of people say it on my podcast, so I've never said it before. And then I thought, you know what? People say this on my podcast, so I'm going to say it. And it's actually myself as an inspiration as well. And I know that can sound a bit egotistical, but it's not designed to be that way. All I mean by that is that I've seen my journey go from a lost person who was in £7,000 worth of debt, who wanted to end her life, to where I am now. And even, you know, my followers inspire me, my friends inspire me, everybody who is living their spiritual journey inspires me, because I'm like, do you know what, you've got that courage to do that, you've got that courage to, you know, co-create that life of your dreams, you've got that courage to stand up and say, no, I want to, you know, manifest this or do things differently or be happy. And I think that is really inspirational to, you know, actually action that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to that 20-year-old lost version of Emma, what one piece of advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
You're going to make a lot of mistakes. And that's okay, because this is how we learn in this life. And it's important to forgive yourself. It's important to forgive other people and to honor yourself. And I'd also say it gets better, because I feel like when we are in those like really, really terrible moments in our life, we don't feel like it will get better. And I think it's important to have stories, not just my own, but everybody's stories, of saying it does get better. And there is, you know, no rain, no flowers. There is always that rainbow after the storm. So it will always get better and the light will always return.
Emma, you have been so inspirational this morning. I defy anyone to listen to this podcast and not feel utterly inspired. Make sure you get over and purchase her book. I know you will take these 33 steps into your life and it will make a huge difference. I already have started implementing some of them into mine. And honestly, I'm already reaping the benefits and it's only been a few weeks. So thank you so much for your time today. And I cannot wait to see the future for Emma Mumford, because I'm sure that it's going to be even more amazing in the next few years as well, because look what you've already created within the past 6 years of your 20s. So thank you so much, and it's been great to have you on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much, it's been so much fun.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please let us know by sharing a picture on social media and tagging us too. We are at Talk20s on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter and Pinterest. We can't wait to hear from you.